Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to everybody from Melbourne, Australia. This is A.P. Taylor. We are on Blog Talk Radio, a Team of Voices channel, and it's great to be with you here. That was the wonderful Shout, Even Shine. She took some lyrics that were given to her by one of our members, Jay Hatter. And she put that together into a song, beautifully sung. But Shout, I think, is off doing Change the World things at the minute from the Faroe Islands. And if that's the case, we need anybody and everybody that's doing Change the World things as we stand here this evening. So all our best to Shout if she's listening. Meantime, I have with me in the studio none other than the person who controls the wonderful world of a Team of Voices, stands on the fence and welcomes everybody in. That's Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, AP?
Yeah, good. Just was having coffee, as I normally do. And then, of course, we worked out that there was a change to daylight saving time here in Australia. And I don't notice these things. All the technology these days just changes, Deb, you know. I just had an hour
right.
Last weekend, obviously, I didn't know about. Anyway, that's okay. Here we are. And we've got a a big board of poems too, Deb, which is terrific, because, you know, this is a show that only exists if people go and poems on the board, and we've got about 12 of them, which is wonderful. So it's, I'm you know, really, really happy that that's what we've got. So I'm just reading a couple of them in a minute because we are a PG-13 show, Deb. But are we? Are we not?
Not anymore.
Aren't we? Oh, there you go. That makes life a lot easier in some ways, to be honest, because...
That's true, yeah.
That being the case, I don't have to go and sense check myself and everybody else as to what that means. Sometimes it's a bit hard to know. So we are, basically, you can put whatever you like in, Deb. That's what you're telling me on the board, which is good news.
Well, we changed it to 17 and over. So, like, you know.
Yes.
To an extent, we don't get ridiculous,
but, you know. I am going to start with my good friend Poeta de Cabra. And Poeta is a rhyming poet. For the record, he lives about 50 miles away from me, Deb. Yeah, it's not that far away. He's just down the road, as you say, in the classics. And, so he's probably, of all the that I know on all poetry, probably the poet who is geographically closest to me. So, that's good fun, because Poeta does some really good rhyming poetry. And I've certainly been in the position where I've awarded him gold awards before, Deb. So this is a poem up on the board that he sent us in, called Best Affair. And it goes a little bit like this. The best love affair, or so it seems, is the one we have in our dreams. We can romance a princess or a queen, or perhaps someone off the silver screen. Imaginary lover is always content, and never is there an argument. And ask her to marry you, she said, yes, of course. Happy forever, no chance at all of divorce. Lots of romance, joy and laughter, stay deeply in love forever after. Always time for a hug or a loving kiss, and the lovemaking is absolute bliss. In real life, who knows what to expect? Some relationships great, but not perfect. I'm not complaining, though, no regrets. My marriage is probably as good as it gets. But sure, as the sun and moon are above, most people do fall in, then out of love. Person that you meet seems just right for starters, but soon find out it's hard to find perfect partners. Maybe husband and wife, but still it ends. For it to last, you need to be best of friends. Give and take, have fun. Lots of laughs, don't mess about, do things by halves. Some people sneak around, lie and deceive. Be then just leave. Best to move out, split up, but do it amicably. Telling you from experience and emphatically. Certainly no marriage counsellor or expert, but over the years I've seen many people hurt. People have affairs because the relationship isn't ironclad. I think the best affair, though, is the one we never had. End poem. Well, Deb, that's sort of classic Poeta sort of writing, actually. It's take a big, meaty, lightly sort of frolic your way through it, really. And that's the way I read it. What did you think?
No, I thought it was really cool because it's got, intelligent advice in there, and it's the truth, but he's also got, you know, like some humor. For example, imaginary lover is always content and never is there an argument. Well, if you have an argument with your imaginary lover. I think that's a totally different subject. But no, in a serious thing, the stuff he says, like, you know, at first everything is great. I'm trying to find the line. I can't. When it first starts out, it's always always time for a hug or a loving kiss, you know. And then it says, in some relationships are great but not perfect. I'm not complaining, though, no regrets. My marriage is probably as good as it gets. And I mean, you know, it's clever rhyme. Maybe a husband and wife, but still it ends. For it to last, you need to be best friends. And I think that that's very, very true. If you can't stand each other, marriage doesn't last very long if you can't be friends. So, like, I think he did a really great job with the prompt.
Yeah, no, he danced. He danced. As I said, he danced through it, which was really quite cool because it's an interesting prompt, Deb. And I think in this particular case, you know, I think he's done, you know, really well, just sort of rolling through. So anyway, there you go. Thank you, Poeta. Always great to hear from you. And I am going to do a SoundCloud next, I think, and I'm probably going to do Phil the Poet, I think, Deb, because Phil's a terrific supporter of the show, a great writer, and he sent a poem through called Waiting in the Wings, and a SoundCloud as well, which is appreciated, so I'm going to play that now. Here we go.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Waiting in the Wings. A shadowy, distorted shape hangs in the background, filled with a silence that has a vicious, vibrant sound. Touches our lives with the point of a cold-edged knife. For a split second, we shiver at the savage bite. We know it's there, waiting in the wings to take center stage. Foolish youth replaced by a wiser man's permanent gaze, staring at the blurred visage in the corner of my eye, evaporating in a second, and can only ponder why. We lived for the moment, not worrying about the grey skies, getting drunk on the here and now, believing in all the lies. We thought we could stop time, but it caught up with us. We laughed at what they said. Now we understand the fuss. The final curtain call comes as it makes its entrance. Shocked, we try to improvise as if we have a chance. Is written in the main script of our mortal lives. For we all know that one day we have to say our goodbyes. Until then, death is waiting silently in the wings while we play at life with all its senseless things. For we be fools if we think our lives are not numbered. One day we will wake as if we never had slumbered. End poem.
Yes. Well, is it not true enough that for all of us there's a sort of time sands capsule there, and the old-fashioned sands running out of that glass tumbler? And the issue is, of course, Phil, that we never know how big that glass of sand is, and whether that's going to keep on going for 30, 40 years, or whether it's going to keep on going for a lot less. And I think what you're saying is, let's be aware that we don't know, and live our lives appropriately. And I think, you know, that there's a lot of truth to that, and the sense that, you know, you have your own mortality and you've got to face up to it is one that I think is worth reminding people about. And a good example of that is here in Australia, I think only one adult in three have a will, because they haven't turned their mind to those things. And I still remember when my father-in-law passed and he didn't have a will, and he had no fewer than 38 bank accounts, and we were trying to work out how to get into all of them, to work out if he had any money and where it was, for things as simple as going and doing the funeral. So, yeah, I just think it's something we don't turn our heads to probably enough. Deb, what did you think of the poem?
Well, for starters, I think his title for this poem is amazing, Waiting in the Wings. Right away, I want to know, when I see that title, what's waiting? And then I almost—it's kind of like, I'm sorry, I asked type of thing. It's death in the wings, waiting, and the final curtain call comes as it makes its entrance. Shocked, we try to improvise as if we have a chance, and I got the chills there, like as if we have a chance. And then at the end, in that last stanza, until then, death is waiting silently in the wings, where we play at life. All its senseless things, for we be fools if we think our lives are not numbered. One day we will awake as if we never had slumbered. I mean, he went all out spooky with this one and did a really great job of it.
Yeah, it did. And it sort of was like, was sort of waiting there, wasn't it? Deb, it was sort of like, it was sort of something about, you know, something just sitting there waiting to happen, and it had that sort of sense to it. It was interesting. So, okie doke, I'm going to move myself on as I do. Deb, I have this thing about form poems. Yeah. I do. I have this thing about form poems. The on site recently, the villanelle has become a tortured form. I think it's fair to say. Yeah. Because
sadly, I've noticed
there's a repeating line, the rhyming, and then on top of that, you should be doing a fixed syllable count. And I've seen examples on the front page of All Poetry recently where the rhyming's wrong, where the repeated line's not used right. And I've seen examples where there's no enforced. Now, the syllable count can be 10 or it can be 8, but it's got to be consistent down the page. And that seems to have been lost somewhere along the line. And even, you know, poetry journals are putting out stuff that don't actually follow those basic sort of principles. And it's been annoying me, Deb. Because some of them are great poems, they're just not feeling those.
Clearly.
I say all that because we've got another villanelle. Particular case, the rhyming does, the repeated line works, but the syllable counts are clearly a little bit different. So it's certainly a villanelle form, but it's not a villanelle. I had to say that because, as you know, it's one of my pet things, being a form poet. Anyway, there you go. This is, in villanelle form, A Painful Goodbye by Jenny and Dee, and it goes a little bit like this. Do you know we miss you? Do you even care? You hurt us when you disrespectfully moved out. What happened between us is not fair. I never thought you would even dare, and so disobedient with your callous shouts. Do you know we miss you? Do you even care? In our hearts there is now a large tear as all your sister does is cry and pout. What happened between us is not fair. I meant it when I said he'll always be there. But you seem to be the only one you're about. Do you know we miss you? Do you even care? Picture-filled wall, all I do is stare. Since that dreadful day started with a verbal bout. What happened between us is not fair. At least call us, let us know you're square. Until then, be careful what you manipulatively try to tout. Do you know we miss you? Do you even care? What happened between us? It's not fair. End poem. I can say this from experience, Deb. Having kids and having relationships with kids is not easy. They're their own person, and they make their own decisions, and sometimes they're very hard to understand, but they do. And you've just got to work within the parameters that people set for you, as much as you'd hope they'd be different. You know, I read a lot of pain into that poem, whatever its form is. And I hope things work out for you, and you do get to hear that phone call. So
yeah, I could feel them, this family, as this one was being read. It's an extremely emotional piece, and the stuff like the sibling with the pouting. That, you know, so upset, so that she's crying and pouting because she's going to miss him so much. And it's just, like I said, it's gut-wrenching. And sheesh, the reality of it, I just hope that if this is in any way biographical, that you know, I think you mentioned it, it'd be really nice if everything worked out for them. And
yeah, I hope so. If you feel,
And on a side note, Jenny the Deep, happy birthday!
Well done, you, Deb. Good pick up. There you go. Now we have a sort of triple one. Somebody else, Deb. So I'm just going to grant them in now. Hello, triple one.
Hey, AP. Hello, Debs.
Hey, so it is Rack.
Hey,
how you going, Rack?
I'm doing all right. I'm not walking while I'm walking in, so the opposite of that poem.
No. Did you hear that poem, Rap?
I think I caught most of it. I mean, unfortunately, feelings are all too familiar. The cover's about half of what I've written most of the time, so yeah, it's horribly like I like to say, and you know. The thing I get more often than not when it involves, you know, splitting up and walking away is you know, the circumstances surrounding it. Not everybody's ever going to understand everything that's involved in it. And like you mentioned, you know, it's the most horrible decision you ever have to face, I think, because, you know, how do you explain to someone that I'm deciding that it's better off if I walk away? Because they're not always going to understand that. It's horrible. Especially when there's kids involved. I know when I was splitting up with my ex-wife, my kids didn't understand, you know, the walking away. It's like, you know, does this mean we're not going to get to, you know, to eat breakfast or whatever? I'm like, you know, no, it's not what it means at all. You know, you know, And sometimes as they get older, they get more resentful and less understanding, and they just don't want to hear it. You know, so it's a horrible place to be. And you know, for me, the only way I got through it was to put it down on paper and kind of, you know, throw the paper away and say, okay, I'm letting it go, because I, you know, living through it, it's just that the memories are just horrible. And yeah, it's very painful.
I agree completely, Brad. And you're right. You know, one of the few things that you can do is actually get out a sheet of paper and start writing about it. So, you know, so that, I hope that the writing of it helps, Jenny, if that is a real situation. Now, talking about writing for something, for a number of years, we have sponsored the Winter Park Paint Out competition, which is held in Florida on a yearly basis about this time of year, and is coming up again. Deb, did you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I thought you were doing fine, but sure.
Oh, well, I can. The difficulty is that
it's coming
a team of boys actually sponsors this competition, right? And we sponsor it to a tune of 1,000,000 points. And so, you know, this is a big deal. You can't go to a competition on the site and get 1,000,000 points any day of the week. So this is a big deal. And Mark J. Andrew Terry runs it, a brilliant interface between, you know, the artists and us as poets, and we actually have linkages where people can go in and read the poets. You open up your site if you closed it down to external viewers so that people can actually see it. And the wonderful thing about this for the art gallery is that they get people from all around the world who come in and virtually visit their art gallery, and it's such an amazing event for that connection between the artist and the poets. And competition has about a couple of weeks away, and our own Sweet Pea and Deborah Lee are judges, which is fantastic. So congratulations to both of those people. And basically you get a week or so, sometimes half a week, because what happens is that the painters actually go out there and paint for the competition live. And then once they put them back into the gallery, then they get posted online, and then you can go and paint paintings that have come out of the competition. So there's a little bit of a sort of a timing thing there where you've got to watch very carefully what comes in and then respond to those. But it's a fantastic competition. It usually gets, obviously, a huge number of entries, and it is a big event. And we're very proud here at A Team of Voices to sponsor the competition. Look out for entries that will start in about another week. It's certainly worth keeping your eye on things, because, of course, it, you know, closes pretty soon after that. So you've got to watch carefully, see the art coming in from the 25 or so artists, plein air artists or wonderful artists in their own right, and just see what you want to write to and get on the board quickly. So watch out for that in the next week or so. How's that, Deb? How'd I do?
Wonderfully. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, so given that, we will move on. I always write for it, but I don't think I've ever got an award for it, because it's just so difficult to get an award for. Anyway, I was going to do, Deb, the famous sort of poem, and this is a very famous poem. This is from a Canadian author. In a week and a bit's time, it is Anzac Day here in Australia and New Zealand, and that's where we go back and recognise the great sacrifice, really, of several generations across the wars that Australia and New Zealand have jointly been involved in, from World War One onwards to World War Two, and everything since. We'll have a show about that. Deb's got some wonderful prompts for you to write to for that, which are the whole heap of images of children who have gone and reacted to this. In the meantime, a very, very famous poem, Prey, and it's called In Flanders Fields. And the author's note actually taught me something, which was, I've always wondered why poppies are so interconnected with World War One. And what actually happened was that poppies have seeds that are on the ground for a number of years, and it's not until that ground is turned and has, you know, been ploughed, or in this particular case, hit by a whole heap of shells, that the poppies actually go and grow. And so around when World War One happened, because there was this incredible amount of destruction, what did happen was that there was nobody could ever remember in history seeing more poppies come up, actually came up during World War One. So this is a very famous poem called In Flanders Fields by John McCrae, and it goes a little bit like this. In Flanders Fields the poppies blow between the crosses row and row that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amidst the guns below. We are the dead short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. End poem. Don't trust it.
Thank you.
That choice.
Well,
good poem to read.
Thinking of all the war and chaos in the world, and the fact that you had a show coming up, and that there, I went looking for something,
and
then figured it would be a good way for you to talk you together.
No, we're going to go to my poem. And I chose a different one. Hopefully. There's not a lot of optimism in the world today, Deb, I sort of think. It's quite a dark place. And so I tried to be a little bit more optimistic. This is Aspirations. It goes a little bit like this. Once upon were just birds, they danced over skies until others developed stronger in competition left to rise. And there was this violence, it was a shedding of feather, as in turn large after small in the absence of weather. To dinosaurs plodding heavy, long lost the silence, they did trumpet victories in great shows of violence. Their minds equal to one nail, we have been given far more. That means to seek answers instead of keeping a score. Within that vast ingenuity that has sent rockets in dust, why cannot we imagine that peace dwells among us? For that great missing gift swells in brothers and bands, hiding our olive branches if we reach out with our hands.
Yeah. I like I remember the sketch, actually, too.
Yeah.
Their minds equal to one nail. We have been given far more. That means the means to seek answers instead of keeping a score. You know, that's pretty potent right there, because more times people just fly off the handle and get up on their high horse ready to, as you said, keep score and maybe get some payback. And they never really found out the answers or where the circumstance came from or what they could do to change it, rather than just keep one-upping each other. And with that vast ingenuity that has sent rockets in dust, no matter how far away you shoot that rocket, it affects the whole world globally. And
yeah,
gosh, if COVID didn't prove that, nothing will. But it's just, I see why you pulled this one.
Thank you, Deb. And Rat. Rat. What did you think of this little piece?
Yeah, a little hope, I think, goes a long way. It's easier to dwell in the darkness than to turn around and try and find that happy place. At least for me, it's a lot harder. And then to actually put it on paper and articulate it, too, it's a beautiful thing. It's very encouraging. Well, you know, it's inspirational, aspirational. you know, it's the positivity of it is something that's sorely needed these days. And, you know, it's very much appreciated, too. Because you know, sometimes it comes across as trite or you know, sarcastic, but you know, the sincerity in what you're talking about and the I almost see you shaking your head at some of the situation too. It mm-hmm. comes through beautifully in what you wrote, and you know, and like you say, it's something that we all need to kind of reach towards. Because if we don't, you know, the alternative is to crawl under a rock. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. So, right. You know, it's tough. You know, I mean, it sounds like, you know, cliche, however you want to put it, to say, you know, you want to live,
right.
But, you know, at the same time. It's like, well, what does that mean? I mean, this
yeah.
How does it say it? You can survive or you could thrive, and you know, it's better to try and have that positivity.
Thank you, Rack. And sitting at the door, I think might be Hatter. Hatter, is that you?
Yes, it is. Hey guys.
Excellent.
Hatter.
I should apologize too, Hatter. We had a time change here in Australia, which completely passed me by. Deb was waiting for me at the studio about an hour before I showed up, well, half an hour as it turned out. So that was why we had sort of a slightly strange starting time. So my apologies. Yeah. So,
I heard
did you hear that
Deborah. I heard what Deborah was saying. I wasn't ready to follow along yet, but Deborah, that's why we have the Olympics, believe it or not.
What's that?
Well, wars were killing too many of the men in every kingdom, in every country. So what they decided to do, if there was a usually it was about land or something. And what they'd do is fight over a bit of land, and they would put up the best athletes. And then that country, whoever won the Olympics, would own that piece of land or whatever the spoils were for that year, for 4 years or whatever they had determined. And then it goes back up to, you have to do it again. Because it was just killing, war was killing too many. Too many men. Now, I read that on the internet. It's got to be true.
And it must be true.
No. Look, it probably is. And look, the thing that I'd say about old time sort of battles is that, for right or wrong, you actually had, you know, the king, queen, consort or whatever that was actually out in the fields, you know. So, you know, battles were a little bit different then, you know. They were about, you know, they're all sort of encompassing. So, and with that, I'm going to go to Lockdown Lark's poem. Nice little transition there. Called The Bane, and it goes a little bit like this. During battle as swords swing in mists of time, three witches sing, the thane of Corder and then king shall be the solace that they bring. Instead, a bane upon him is revealed, no kin descendants will he yield, another's son to be the crown shield, and in this then his fate is sealed. Corder comes by a king's good grace, the prophecies he doth now embrace, his lady's ambitions positions its place, the plot to kill a king he must now face. So swiftly onwards to this fateful deed, to drug king's bodyguard was agreed, a sleeping king knifed with all speed, claimed, blame, and then slain the unneed. But What more hath riches to say, or born of women he will slay, until those of a wood come his way, then shall he see his last day. A wrath he executes with his powers, women and children's lives he devours, across the land of darkest hours. His lady's suicide, the sanity's powers. Then from a wood comes an army, the spirit of people must be set free, the wrong no longer bending knee. He fights viciously for his destiny. There was one, not from woman born, from a dying womb one had been torn. He sees clearly now prophecies sworn, he drops his sword, accepting a fate forlorn. Sing not of the fruits of greed, nor the fantasy of a lover's flame. The mist of time ensures all bleed. Love living, and live loving is the game. End poem. Deb, what did you think of that little piece of Macbeth? It was the author's note, an inspiration, it was saying, for the record.
Yeah, you know, he starts off during battle as swords swing in mists of time, trees, which is saying just the thought of another battle in this poem brings me back to something I had said a show or two ago about how sometimes the topics are similar. And, you know, I mean, in different ways, of course, but, like, instead of bane upon him is revealed, no kin descendants will he yield another son to be crowned shield, and in this his fate is sealed. The thought of curses on you, you know, I curse you to have no descendants to carry on your name, and it's got the dramatic feel to it. And where's that one? From the wood comes an army. The spirit of people must be set free. The wrong to no longer bending knee. He fights viciously for his destiny. It's a very nicely worded way in that stanza to say that they're not going to take it anymore. They're not going to just
Get
back and let you do this. I thought it was. He did a great job with it. Oh, and I see that there's a commenter on his poem, Sonia 3902Z. And since I saw her, it's a reminder to shout out to her also. Sonia, happy birthday.
Well done.
Happy birthday to you.
That's the
birthday.
Had up, had
up. Yeah.
Had
yeah,
up.
It I liked it. It was very very well put together as far as a history, or not history, but a situation, because we have no idea what war was like back then. I mean, hand to hand with swords is brutal. I mean, to charge two armies at each other with spears and hope for the best is just mind-boggling. To what he's explaining, what he describes in there is the intensity in which you fought, because you literally fought for your damn life. Not that you don't now, but it's a little more technical.
Yes.
Than it is personal.
Yes.
Reminds me of the Berserks. The Berserk. Coming across the Berserk. What the hell are you going to do?
Yes. 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 No, I think you had Rack, what did you think?
You know, it feels very much like, you know, he says it was inspired by Macbeth, and the language he used, the setting, it feels that way. And I always have to smile, you know, I hear, you know, little voices in the back of my head, I'm not dead yet, you know, and
Kind
of wants to talk about what the war was like back then. And I can, you know, I always think of the parodies of it, because, you know, some of it's, you know, there's little facts that manage to dribble their way in to things like that, that just, you know, the realization of it, it kind of numbs it a little, so it makes it more palatable for us, because, you know, to try to live through the people that live through the stuff like that, it's a miracle that they did. And, you know, you talk about bending the knee, it's like if you weren't loyal to the king off with his head. You know, I mean, as much as we think that might be the stereotype, then that was their reality. So, you know, it's a interesting place to be, I think. But it's really cool to write about because, you know, you get to have a little freedom, a little poetic license. And, you know, he had wonderful use of the language and the setting and, you know, the picture that he painted with it, you know, appropriately so, I imagine, for whatever artwork he put with it. But, you know, I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Great comment. And we are now heading on to Iris Rose, changing slightly with the title Kindness That Breathes, and it goes a little bit like this. It was a sunny afternoon. My truck was a dirty ruin. Mud splatters sprayed across those blue suicide doors, chrome rims cast in hard debris of old trailblazing saws, a dent in my left rear quarter panel bent, a fallen limb. My FJ Cruiser, a 4x4, a fine and old faithful friend. A detail shop was a new look in a small strip mall store. The guy's name was Andrew, and he knew all about dirt law. Crud that clogs up everything, it just makes my attitude raw. And a dent that's bent, it'll cost me 3 months' rent or more. We talked about the coffee stain over the right headliner door, the engine compartment and dirt beneath the sealed steel frame door, floor. Then left, but came right back with a smile and a plastic disc. Quickly he turned and applied the disc in a whiz pop, it splished. Smiling, he said, "Looks some better now. It's on the house, miss." I'll never forget his kindness in these hard days, times of life now. The kindness that breathes is worth more than money can buy. End poem. There you go. Rack, kindness.
That's almost unheard of for somebody to volunteer something like that. I mean, especially, you know, I don't know that the way she describes it, she's visibly worried about the expense of what she's talking about.
Yes.
And, you know, and the guy turns around, he's like, no, it's on the house. You know, more than unexpected, like going through the drive-thru and getting a cup of coffee. That's like, really? You know, you're talking about like 3 months rent. You're talking quite a bit of change, and you know, even just the description, when I hear suicide doors, I go way back to all the antique cars and the vintage whatever and the muscle disc, and it's like, you know, just that one feature alone is like, you know, oh my God, that adds so much value to the car. It's got to be insane. You know, I've never had the privilege, but you know, it's really, you know, it kind of goes together with the you know, you expect to have to pay, but you don't want to have to pay. And then when the time comes and you're like, what am I going to do now, you know? and then, you know, the guy turns around and he gives her the service. It's like that's just unbelievably, you know, incredibly kind.
Yeah. Unheard of. So, yeah, no, thank you. And Hannah, what did you think of that one?
I got lost here on the poem. I mean, it's well written, but the story, the 4x4, the limb caused the damage. I can't find where, why, okay. So it's just the cost of having fun. Is that what it is?
No. It's basically the repairer doing a good deed. That's really what they're talking about.
Oh, I got it. Okay, I got it. Gwen, thank you.
Yeah.
So, good to see her back.
Really what's about.
Been a while.
No. Yeah, well, that's it. Deb, what did you think of this one?
Well, actually, for one, congratulations on the HM. She's in my group in a tournament that we're in, and so it's sweet. But there are six of us in the group, and I'm happy to say that all six of us got one medal or another in this one. And I like how she took us on the dreaded journey of waiting to hear what the, in this case, detail man is going to give you as a final bottom line on that quote or the price. And for somebody to actually say on the house mess nowadays, it is like even sweeter because people have decided that it's better to be creeps and stuff than not. And so it's nice to hear a story where somebody who could did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Gwen,
absolutely.
Gwen was chased by the fires here in California. She remember, right? She had just moved, and she was caught on a hill during one of the wildland fires, and had to escape.
Yeah, right. No, that's horrible. So, okay, we are moving on to the next poem, and this one is one just a brevity that was given to us by a heavenly angel called Your Kiss. Goes a little bit like
I'm gonna
this.
I'm going to go find one, maybe. Got that.
Okay, sure. As the first rose of spring deepens her blush in the suns, buttery rays smile on her, the strawberry pink of my cheeks glows in appreciation of your kiss. Then, Paul. Rack, what did you think of that?
That was kind of a quick kiss. It was, you know, that's kind of a moment. That's one of those things that, as quick as you could brush somebody's lips, it kind of lingers and it lasts. And there's usually, you know, an electricity behind it. But you know, the beauty thing of what she's talking about is it doesn't have to be that kind of a passionate kiss. Even it could be just, you know, kissing your kid on the forehead. So it's a very multifaceted, open-ended kind of a feeling too. So it's a beautiful thought that kind of lets you drift away and have a moment.
Yeah, excellent, great comment. Thanks, Rack. And Deb, what did you think of Heavenly Angel's short piece?
Yeah, I got to read this for her on the White Show, and I thought it was really sweet, and it was a beautiful brevity, and she, of course, had an award when she came to the show, and now she has another, and often her poems are multi-award winners. It's a very beautiful brevity.
Yeah, great. Yeah, very, very nice. Okay, talking about supporters of the show, and certainly Heavenly Angel is one. Another is the great writer from England, Titus. Titus always gives us a form poem. He's incredibly professional with how he goes and does SoundClouds and gives that to us as well. Always great to hear his work, and I'm sure this will be the same. This is a sestina, again, a very difficult form to do, called A Whisper of Return. I'm now going to go to the SoundCloud that he provided, and we'll come back shortly.
A Whisper of Return, sestina. Love's frolic is to smell. The breeze would send acquaintance to with drifts that once down through feelings. From a woman's ardent whispers, sirens sound the trees with I love you so. From falling in and out of tenderly, she'd leave erect neck hair to stand on end. Tis with such a quiver, where no end greets having sense the turn or shiver send, which certainly moved earth so tenderly. Remembered best for making us astound, when if, as one's reply of patience so, arouses would permit our hearing whispers. And if from kisses who for love sends whispers, love is not the means to grieve an end, which left you in the throes of tenderly, when parting asks for you not what to send. If distance were no distance to astound, then let you know he's missed you so. How close come words when never having so declares I can but give to you in whispers something which you found, and to astound my being there in thoughts is not the end. Relying on the breeze my wish for sends came through, and with it holds on tenderly. Do heartbeats whisper light and tenderly, inviting the unknown when near, and so more hope than dust, a whispered dust it sends, when leaving for the first, the last but whispers back. So in believing not the end, then looking back to find your joys astound. I've not just fade delay for the astound of asking who it is who tenderly excites, that one rest bites on being end, to turn around unhappy quietly so, returning of a breeze in that it whispers willingly to know that voice descends. To have astound us turning, did you so move tenderly towards the whispers for another day to end, for love to send?
So that was very beautiful. And the birds very quietly sort of chirping away in the background. They definitely weren't cockatoos, let me tell you. The words used were beautifully peaceful, and the sustainer is a lovely form, French form from the Middle Ages, but very, very difficult to do, to tell a story, and Titus has done a terrific job there. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Daughters, yeah, I agree with that. There was something about the birds tweeting in the background that I think it made it feel realistic, and you could feel his words as you were basking in the scenery around him. And he's got so many parts, but the one where do heartbeats whisper light and tenderly, inviting the unknowns when near, and so more hope than does to whisper does it send, when leaving for the first, the last but whispers. It's just beautiful wording. It looks like a hard poem to write, and it has this flow. And even though it's not because of rhyme, it has a beauty in the flow. I think he did a fabulous job with it. And there was emotion, love.
Yes.
Touching the heart. It was really, really gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah, no, beautiful poem. It floats on that rhythm of the words and the ending sort of going up and down, but you're right, there's no rhyme to it. It just does work beautifully, and when it's in the hands of a master, it works beautifully. Rack, what did you think?
I think it carries itself on the weight of the word itself. His choice in using the word whisper, at least for me, there's kind of a special thought behind it, in the sense of, to me, it's almost like it's an investment. You're making yourself vulnerable. You're putting yourself out there, but you're drawing the other person in. There's an emotion behind it. Either you're unable to find the words, and that's why you're whispering, or you're humbled. There's a feeling behind it's not an affectation, but in using it the way that he did, it's just brilliant.
Yes.
He animated the word. He took the word and he brought it to life, in a stage whisper,
it.
As it were. So,
he definitely did
an amazing job. Yeah,
agreed. And Hannah, were you there to listen? I wasn't sure. Did you hear that one?
Yeah, I agree with Rack. The description and the use of whispers throughout the poem. I think he mentions it. So it's the subject at least five times, I think. Each line that it's in, though, I noticed true feelings from a woman's ardent whispers.
Yes.
There's the one line with the whispers in it was the best. When if as one reply a patient so arouses would permit our hearing whispers.
explanation points.
Yes.
Very well done. This is really, you got to read it a couple times to get it, man. At least I do. This is very good. Tony does this to me every time.
Yep.
Heartbeat with the lights.
Yep.
Yeah, the different, Rakuja made a good point. When do you whisper? It's not always just
yes.
be quiet. It's just, there's different
no.
scenarios. Yeah. It's quite clever.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is a cleverly written poem. And he has a terrific connection with the topic, and he carefully chooses his language, and then, of course, he goes and does all of the work that he does with birds or whatever else that he does to make that whole performance sort of sing and dance. So my thanks again to Titus for being with us and giving us his piece. Okie doke, we are going to go, Patter, to your piece. You put a piece on the board. We'll
yeah, read,
put
read.
That up.
Did you
want to read this one, Patter, or do you want me to read it?
Yes, please. I'll put it up there.
Okie doke. Well, this is the Poetry Wars by Jay Hatter. And it goes a bit like this.
Hey, yeah.
You okay? You got it there?
Yep. Go ahead, please.
Yep. Okay, cool. Here we go. The rhymers watched the approaching three to prove what is and is not poetry. All talks finished, unable to agree. Rhyme is the fruit of all poetry. Free is the verse, anything, anytime. Is it free because you cannot rhyme? Torches aflame, this is no game. A war is about to explode. Free men with veggies and riders with wedgies, the greatest story never told. Watermelon riders with broccoli spiders storming the rhyming walls. Hear the king's voice, does he have a choice but to give his coconut calls? Chocolate-covered cabbage dropped from the air, laid underground with a noodle to spare. Rotten, buttered carrots that were 9 foot tall, fried garlic walnuts crushing the walls. This night, no warning, the sounds were obscured, no raspberry ran rounds, nothing was heard. With kiwis in hands, guide the blind, the salsa vanilla put up the sign. There's no war this time, go home, set it free if you must. But rhyme went alone. End poem.
Yeah.
Like that. There's a little bit of existential sort of Mad Hatter in Lewis Carroll Hatter. Now, there's no 9 foot carrots that I saw in, you know, the Mad Hatter, but it's the same type of sort of feeling that you have when you see Tweedledum and Tweedledee, that you have free men with veggies and riders with wedgies. So I sort of quite liked it because it was sort of esoteric in my head in terms of standing for interesting things and thoughts. So there you go, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I remember writing this when we were discussing the difference, why so many people are objecting to rhyming poems.
Yes, yes.
So that's sort of why the silliness of some of the rhymes, because that
yeah,
proven that it's,
but
it's a poem. Yeah, and yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. So anyway, so you got Deb, did you want to say a few words about Hatter's piece?
Yeah, I actually remember this one because Hatter doesn't really do word banks, and I thought when he dove in and gave this word bank a try that it was obvious that he had tons of fun with it. And I loved the, where did that go? The couplet, free is the verse, anything, anytime. Is it free because you cannot rhyme? And there was another one that made me giggle, rotten buttered carrots that were 9 foot tall, fried garlic walnuts crushing the wall. It was like, if you relate it back to the picture with all that smoke in the room, it's no wonder the poem read like a trip. It was very cool, Heather.
Thank you, Deborah. Yeah, it was. I guess I did do my word boat. I called it a boat.
That's cute. And Rack, did you want to say a few words about Hatter's Press?
Well, the way Hatter says a boat, I thought he was Canadian for a minute there.
yeah, boot.
Yeah. You know, it may not have been a war, but it was a food fight, that's for sure. I mean, you know, and that kind of threw me for a loop. You're going in one direction, and the next thing you know, the wedges was one thing, and then the carrots came out. I was like, you know, okay then. You know, I mean, it was very whimsical and you know, Hatter-esque, as it were.
Yes.
But, you know, it was definitely a lot of fun. And, you know, now I want garlic walnuts now. It just sounds appealing. You said that, and I'm like, oh,
no,
that's a good question. That would be really good.
No, thank you. Thanks, Adam. And we now have a piece that's been put up on the board by L'Oreal. So Montana, another great supporter of the show. He's asked somebody to read it, so it sounds like me. This is The Wings of the Hesperides, and it goes a bit like this. Dance and sing with amorous liberty in those boundless lakes and streams. Immortal Adurasia in the radiant gleams, stately and nubile maidens of virginity. Daughters, the evenings and sunsets awaken from a blissful idyllic garden. Oceanius blows upon the grove of Aden, home of nymphs, pyramid silhouettes. Glowing with the nightly star of Hesperus, where the titans and gods reside in all, and the Argonauts of the vast sea that calls beneath the Olympian throne of Hercules. By the Corinthian columns of the Pantheon, see the wings of the Hesperides and Aglaion. End poem. I'm just going to talk about the form for one tick, because that's a sort of three-verse ABBA rhyme with a sort of CC ending in the two line, which is a very traditional old Greek form. But I actually find the flow of ABBA really tough to pull off, and I think Laurent did a great job of doing that. Rack, what did you think of that piece?
Yeah, I find it hard to mix up some of the rhyme scheme like that, so... I like the way he did that too. But I mean, it was great because, you know, the subject that he talks about, I like that too. And it made me want to run back. Okay, I recognize the word Hesper, but I'm like, oh, what was that one again? Cause I always get all of them mixed up, but, you know, the Greek tragedies and the Greek gods and mythology, you know, it tends to blur a little bit, but I enjoyed his piece nonetheless. And the language is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Hannah, what did you think of this one?
Joy walked in the room.
Hi.
Oh, no, that's okay. Hi, Joy.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm just
very
wonderful.
Grateful.
I just wanted to say hi.
No, please. It's always lovely to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been a long time, huh?
It's been about a year. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad I got to say hi. So you guys, you guys get back to what you're doing.
No problems at all. Thanks, Joy.
Okay.
Bye, Joy.
Bye-bye, honey.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Cute. Rack, you cute. You get the points. Okay, so I make, Deb, that we have three poems to go. Did you want to do your one next?
Sure. Mine's a tiny one.
That's okay. Before you do that, did you want to talk about what's coming up on a team of voices.
I can do that, yes. So, I'm wondering now. Let me just double check this because, it's not till next week. So we have no show tomorrow.
Yes.
But on Monday night, we are continuing on with the color series, and we are doing purple this week. And
we are.
Looking forward to some of the, by the titles, I'm looking forward to some of the great poems that are on the board. I think Dave Prophet even wrote us a poem specifically about cotton candy and gunpowder, and he picked the purple perfume bottle to do it, so that should be cool. Then on Tuesday...
I'm having a go at a classic on purple. But anyway, keep going.
Aha. And then I don't know where Guy's board went. Let's see here.
I think there might actually be a show on Sunday, too.
There it is. I'm sorry. I found it. So it's volume 3 of the Cimmerillion. And she has quotes, and she has pictures, and she has some packed information on the board on this particular characters. You can write to the characters, the quotes, the story itself.
Yes.
That is Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, I'm grabbing her other board so that I can tell you guys that is volume 4, also from the Silmarillion, volume 4. Again, she has photos, she has information, quotes, pictures. She's got a couple really packed, beautifully put together topic boards there. And then on Thursday, we will join Sweet Pea at 10 p.m., but she does not have her board up yet, so I'm not totally sure the topic. Friday at 10 is Open Poetry on Liquid Damage Lounge at 10 p.m.
Yes.
And then it brings us back here to you, AP.
Then we're back.
9 p.m.?
Yep, absolutely.
We're open poetry.
And Rack, I've sent you a quick IM too. I don't know if it's easy for you to get that, but I've sent you a quick IM. Did you want to share your piece with us?
I sure will. Okay. And I didn't even realize we put them up at the same time. A very short one. It's a photo of a big, big, big mouth fish, maybe a bass, who knows, and a little tiny person. And the poem is called The Dentist and the Dental Dilemma. And here we go. I picked up the phone call at the vet's office, and it turned out that I'd been misled. The caller said, just fix a little tooth. It's easy money, they said. But within just one blink, a big mouth fish is fed. Me. And Paul.
Yeah. I hate dentists. I've gone through medical stuff. I actually worked out the other day that I have had 16 general anesthetics. I didn't start to actually have a look at how many locals I've had. However, I have to say that the thing I hate the most is the dentist. I really do. Now, unfortunately, all dentists know that. They know that most people hate going to the dentist, right? And so what that means is that it's actually one of two people that you've got there, right? You've got somebody who knows pain and suffering and are feeling really bad about it, and often before they go and do stuff, or, because they're psychologically sort of whatever, or you've got somebody who actually enjoys creating pain and suffering, and they just go about it because that's what they do, you know. And if you're going to create pain and suffering, you might as well charge extra because who cares? Anyway, yeah. And I still remember vividly having a root canal, and I've got my mouth open with one of those dental dams and whatever else. And for some stupid reason, I said I was in private health insurance. And I then got the next 45 minutes of being ruthlessly drilled with both the drill and the dentist telling me what a pack of bastards everybody was in private health insurance. And it was one of the more awful experiences of my life because there's nothing you can do. You know, you've got local all over your mouth. You can only go burble because you've got a dental dam on. And the more you know, the angrier she got, the deeper she went with the friggin' drill. It was, God, save me. Brutal. Brutal. So, anyway, that's all I'm going to say about this.
And then through the whole thing, they try and talk to you.
Yeah. Anyway, Hatter, did you want to talk about Deb's poem and maybe dentists?
You got Joy laughing over here in the kitchen.
Oh, that's good.
I was traumatized by the dentist when I was young also. Don't like him.
Yes. Yes, agreed.
My biggest thing is I tell him, look, I've got nerve damage in my face from an accident.
Yes.
You know, if things are weird, you might have to shoot more Novocaine or something, and they never believe me until they see the tears rolling down my cheek. Yeah, and going, you're not numb. So I walk out of there with a freaking full mouth, can't talk or nothing. But the torture.
No.
For the next 45 minutes.
Yeah. And look, I've got a good little story about dentists, just because Joy's sitting in there and listening. Yeah. Because dentists are quite political here. Yeah. They're like the Bolsheviks of the health system. Yeah. So how much ever they get paid, it's not enough. Right. So they just go after you for even more. Right. And they got this system set up, right, for all of the health funds here. So there's 100 and whatever health funds, including the dentists. They have their own health funds, yeah? And what they did was that they rated all of the things for dental stuff, right? And of the 300 different policies, they gave 2 bronze awards to 300 of them, and the other 298, they said, were rubbish. And so as soon as you put that in, it with a letter to your local member in Parliament saying, I think that the dentists deserve more money and they're doing a wonderful job and you need to give them more. And that just got automatically spat out. Yeah? Before you see the pee. So, as I said, here, can't talk about anything else, the dentists are the Bolsheviks of the health system. Rat, what did you...
Well, you know the drill. When you talk about dentists, at least for me, there's two things always come to mind. One of which is Little Shop of Horrors, because they have that sadistic dentist that you mentioned in that show. That's just.
Let me guess.
It's so appropriate. It was so funny. It was one of those moments when I first saw that show that I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, that was really a great moment. And then the other one is the one that makes everybody cringe, and you don't even have to say anything other than Marathon Man, and everyone just, you know, it makes you wince because, you know, that idea, you know, is like all kinds of crazy memories. But, the dentist is one of those experiences that is almost universally hated, and you know, again, that would have been another act of kindness. Like, it's on the house, Deb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, you got from a dentist? Are you kidding me? God help me! Yeah. Rats, don't even say that.
I thought you were going to say Conehead.
Conehead. Thank you for the comment. And Deb has had to disappear because she's on driving duty. So thanks to Deb for all her help. We have a couple of poems left. One has a SoundCloud for it, which is by Wayne. Wayne's always, again, wonderful supporter of the show. great poet, and let's hear his SoundCloud now.
This is called Ended in Happiness by Wayne Gent. My pockets were filled with ambition. I was flying by on a mission. Ambition always kept me wishing, believing I could live the vision. Kept dragging the weight to get on top, was determined I would never stop. Wondering if I was going to flop, I knew ambition I would not drop. I learned to play the company song, I was thinking it was where I belong. I did not stay on top very long, but so many things I did wrong. I knew there was a decision I had to make. I had to start giving and not take. Learn the golden rule was not to break, just to be me and not be a fake. Then I found out I didn't have to win. Realized I was happy again. No longer do I have to pretend. Today I walk around with a grin. Ian?
Layla, ba-dum-bum, you got me on my knees, Layla, ba-dum-dum, begging, darling, please, Layla, ba-dum-dum, darling, won't you ease my worried mind? Love that song. Great choice, Wayne. Very cool. Enjoyed it a lot. Rack, what did you think of Wayne's very cool poem?
You know, that he ended with walking around with a grin again made me think of the damn dentist. So, thanks, Deb. Now I can't get that out of my head.
Move on.
Yes. And Wayne makes it easy to move on because he touches on a lot of things when he does his poetry. He's got happy moments and scary moments, and, you know, he does a great job telling his story and catching us, you know, one way or the other. He can write about just about anything, and he does. So more power to you, Wayne. It's a great piece.
Yeah, great comment. Thanks, Rack. And Hannah, what did you think?
Yeah, it's all about the when you realize everything's not a competition. I remember either working or knowing these guys that are, it's to a fault that the competitiveness is in everything they do. And it's for real with them. And it's like, well, you know, they need to take it easy, you know, slow down. It's not that big of a deal. That's when the smile comes back on their face.
Absolutely. Yeah, great job by Wayne, and hope you're listening, Wayne. And
is that a Clapton song? You got me.
It's Layla by Eric Clapton. That's exactly right. Yeah, Eric Clapton song. Yep. Great. Okie doke. We're going to finish with Lawrence 67 and his poem Mousetrap. He's got his own style, Lawrence 67. This is The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie. It goes a bit like this. Ip, and Alan Dala, Riviera. Lawrence 67, what the hell? Mouse, broom, skid, hey, Plato, jump on that chair. Yikes, jump on the chair. Now, you stay up here, Beto, until I'm done. You understand me, boy? Because this is a hooved up broom. Nigel, Alfie, huh? What's all the commotion about? Alfie, go and see what L67's screaming about. You go see. I'm taking my beauty nap. Beauty nap, get your ass up here and see what this problem is. Why do I always get to go and see Mouse, Broom, with Beto and Dali and Dali? What the heck? Hey, it's a cute little mouse. Hey there, little guy. Is that you making all this noise? Mouse, broom, skid. Are you, ugly furball? You're calling cute. I'll kick your ass real fast with gas. Easy, pinch your gut for Alfie. Are you a tough guy? Tickle your belly, mouse. Hey, better what you're talking about. Tickle me belly, I'll bite you in the coonies and give you the rabies, damn punk. Alfie. So cute little guy is very stressed out. Come on, little fella. Go away. Go play outside. Quit scaring L67, mouse. Yeah, that's what I thought, peckerhead. You don't want to mess with me. Hatter, you going to say it? Underlay, underlay, arriba, arriba, room.
Epe, underlay, underlay, arriba, arriba. Hey there,
yeah,
pussy.
There you go.
Gato, what you doing, ugly guato?
Did you hear the same thing? Hatter, about this one?
Yeah. I thought it was very clever. It's little Speedy Gonzales. I like that. Arriba, hey there, pussy gato. What you doing, ugly vato? I know the tone. One of my best friends was Mexican Indian. Vato. This is very clever. I like his sense of humor. I like the way he writes.
No, it was. It was clever. Now, I should say, Jenny the Deep is on the board, and she said she didn't add her poem. You actually did, and we did do it earlier on, Jenny. It's just what Deb does when we go through the list is in the show, is she deletes the poem off the board. So that if you have a look at the board, by the time we get to the end, there's no poems left because you can't see them, because that means we've already done them. So fear not. Your poem was on the board. We did do it earlier on. It's just that Deb's deleted it because we're done. So if you go
you
back to the recording, and that'll be up. Yeah, that'll be up very shortly. We'll go from there.
Oh, no, I didn't add mine like I thought.
It's all good. It's all good, Jen. Panic not.
Yeah.
It's all good. Rack, did you want to say a few words about Lauren 67?
I just have to give a nod to all the cartoons from our youth that didn't give a damn about being politically incorrect or anything, and how much fun it is, and how his style, you know, it always reminds me of some of those conversations and a lot of those cartoons from growing up.
That's it. Brilliantly done. Thank you. See, you knew where it was from. So we are done. We are finished. We have all last calls, all that sort of stuff. So we have got through the list. And my thanks to Deb, my thanks to Hatter, my thanks to Rack for being there and commenting along the way. And
Enjoy.
Oh, sorry, Joy. Yes, Joy. Hi, Joy. Yes, sorry. And a shout out to all the dentists who are now no longer listening, and reduce the audience of potential people yet again. But that's all good. So, but apart from that, we are all still alive, which then, of course, puts me on to the VGs to finish. Okay, bye everybody. We'll see you next week for more open poetry. Until then,
AP.
And yeah.
When's Australia Day?
Australia Day's been in the past, Hatter. It's end of January. So
oh, that's right.
We didn't do an Australia Day show. But we are going to do an Anzac Day show. So Anzac Day is in a week and a half, and so we'll do sort of a combined sort of Australia-Anzac Day show.
Is that when the
horse race is later on. That's in November, first week of November. So,
oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So, we'll do just the, like, the Veterans Memorial-type day show in a week and a half.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So, do we have any word on the paint out?
It's another week away before the first paintings get put up. So
okay.
Another week. Yeah. So we'll be there, and we, of course, we're sponsoring it, and Deb and Sweet are judges this year. So, meantime, I'm going to the Bee Gees. But why not? Nothing wrong with a bit of falsetto to finish the show. And these guys did it better than anybody. This is Staying Alive, and I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
All right.
Bye, AC.
Thanks, Joe. You be good. Or if you can't do that, just lay low. All right, here we go.
Cheers.
Love you.
Do your time. copy. Those vinyl screens sound like me directly. Best representation of the song of Pure Pain. We will see you after the week to come. Stay safe, everybody. See you in a week's time for more open poetry. And thanks for all being along for the ride. Talk soon.
See ya.
Goodbye, P.
Thank you. Thanks, Hannah. Bye.